Hey, it's Austin James. If you're like me, trying to live your best life while living with diabetes, you can relate to worrying if you're doing a good job managing your diabetes. I use the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor to get real-time glucose readings and see the impact of every meal and activity to make better decisions. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor can help me live life with diabetes on my own terms, and it gives me more time for the things I love, like being a dad and a musician. Now this is progress. Learn more at FreeStyleLibre.us.
For prescription only, safety info found at FreeStyleLibre.us.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
And joining me on the podcast right now is John Heumann for our Vox Green Stocks. You're right, John?
Not too bad. How are you doing, Justin?
Yeah, all right. The AIM market is dreadful at the moment, isn't it? It's literally hitting new lows. And we're doing it literally almost 7 days. I looked at recently, 7 days down in a row. And RSI is at 14 on the chart there, which it's not been like that. I mean, it doesn't happen very often. You know, below 30 is oversold on this momentum indicator on the chart. And literally, it's only done that 5 times in the last 10 years. So you can see where we are. We are sort of at a really weak point on the AIM all-share index. And you look across the pond there, and NASDAQ is like 33% off its lows and is in a bull market.
Yeah, I mean, the sentiment is obviously very poor. I mean, the NASDAQ might, you know, might be slightly different. Obviously, there's been this big AI-powered rally recently. So, you know, I mean, I don't think you're necessarily comparing apples and apples.
No, but
there
what I'm saying is, yeah, I'm saying, though, essentially, I've posted this out actually recently on Twitter, and someone said the same thing, comparing apples. What I'm saying, though, where would you want to be, though? Where would you prefer to be? Because there are more bargains, value-wise, now within good companies. There are good companies on AIM than there is on those Magnificent Seven stocks, you know, because they are very stretched.
Yeah.
You got Apple at a $3 trillion valuation. And how much upside is there, you know? Whereas I think there's many of sort of small microcaps on AIM that are decent businesses with excellent prospects, but being hammered because liquidity is a thing, isn't it? When you've got small stocks that are very illiquid and all you've got is people worrying and selling into them, a little bit of sell volume takes them down, you know, disproportionately, you know?
Oh, 100%, 100%. I think you're right. You know, this is... It is bargain hunting territory. I mean, the only thing you've got to do is be patient. You know, it may take a bit of time for that bounce back to happen. I mean, you know, looking across some of the companies we've covered recently, particularly like the tech investors. I mean, Apple, you know, $3 trillion company, you know, big hoo-ha about its new, you know, augmented reality glasses. Yeah, we've got a company that we look at, Tech Capital. It's got a company in its portfolio called Innovative Eyewear. As far as I can tell, it's doing much the same thing. And, you know, you've got that portfolio that's trading at a large discount to NAV. Pires, that we looked at the other day, trading at something like 57% discount to NAV. You know, and it invests in AI. So, yeah, I think fear is stalking the AIM market. And you know, it's bad news if you're holding. It might, you know, pretty tense place to be, but as you say, there's going to be stuff in there that you're going to be finding very cheaply.
Yeah, exactly. Well, leaving that end of the market, there's also some bargains. I saw the FTSE 250, I think, was down like 10 days in a row recently, and that's and I've got a little fund that I'm invested in, which is like the highest yielding 50 stocks within the FTSE 350, and even that's taken a bit of a knock of late. I think down 6-7% on that, which is unusual for that kind of diversification, that kind of size market cap. So I thought maybe have a look at them. You know, this is so explain what we're looking at today.
Yeah. So we're looking at, you know, larger companies. So, you know, I'm calling that 500 million plus.
Yeah.
Which we don't generally look at. I mean, you know, in sort of the world of global stock markets, 500 million market cap is still small cap in a lot of places, particularly the US. But over here, that, you know, as you say, that sort of represents the 250. There's a lot of companies in there. I think there's a lot of worries about the UK domestically. So, you know, that will drag on what's seen as a more domestically focused index. But so what we're looking for are among those large companies, ones that are still profitable, paying a dividend and hopefully a well-covered dividend, but you know, just stuck in a rut, stuck close to their sort of 52-week lows. And there's quite a few of them.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and also, you know, some of them are quite recognisable. I mean, they're bigger companies. You've got like Persimmon in there. You've got Vodafone. There's, what else? There's Currys, British American Tobacco, Anglo American. In fact, I think Anglo American is one of the biggest holdings in this this fund I hold. Yeah, BT, Rio Tinto, Hargreaves Lansdown. So our job is to pick one. What are you after? What are you looking at, John?
Well, I'm actually going for Hargreaves Lansdown, which actually on my list. Which is ranked by a day since the 1 year low, is actually number 25. But it's been hovering around a 1 year low. It's about 6% off its 52 week low, 170 days since hitting it. So, you know, it's really stuck in this rut. And there were lots of concerns about Hargreaves and, you know, the fact that it needed to invest significant amounts of money in its platform, that it was facing a lot of competition. You know, you've got Interactive, which is now owned by Aberdeen. You've got AJ Bell, you know, pretty decent competitors. You know, Hargreaves had this market to itself, grew massively. But now the worry is that it's going to have to spend big to maintain its market position. You know, this was a company that was super highly rated. You know, a platform, and everyone loves a platform, you know, whatever industry it's in. It's got, you know, it's more than 1 million customers. You know, absolutely, without a shadow of a doubt, the dominant force in UK private investing. But as I say, big worries that it was going to have to, you know, sacrifice some profitability to really cement that position in the face of competition. Mm-hmm. And if you actually look, that, you know, you can see that in the sort of profit trajectory and even the sales trajectory, you know. So, you know, we had this very sort of solidly climbing pre-tax profit line. 2022-23, big dip. You know, this is a reflection of that. But, you know, it's still a gigantic force in this market, and profits are going to, you know, are expected to bounce back. It has the capacity to spend. It has the capacity to invest. You know, there is a view that you can't turn these sort of companies around at the scale of the investment, and the complexity is so much that, you know, it's going to be like a BT, stuck forever, yeah. You know, a fallen giant. But I'm not so sure. I think this is a company with lots of entrepreneurial minds in it, and I think it will definitely sort of maintain its position at the top of its market.
Yeah. Do you know what? I looked at them a while back on the webinar. I went through a spread, put them through my spreadsheet there, just because they'd fallen so much. They came up on a screener. I don't know what I was looking for, but I was looking back in May 2019, they're at 24 quid a share, and now they're at £7.83. And they keep bouncing up. In fact, I had an alert on them recently because they nearly broke out, but then they got to the top of this range and they've just fallen back off the cliff. Like, 13th of June, they went from 780 up to 875. Oh, they're going to break out here. And literally, the next few days, they're down. They're at 6-7 down days. And they're back to the bottom of the range again now. So they're having a problem breaking out of that range for some reason. But I suppose...
Oh, it's an ugly chart.
Yeah, it
it's
is,
a really
it?
Ugly chart, yeah.
But, I mean, I'd say it's even got up to like 10 quid at one point, spiked up in February this year. But it's come back all the way back down. So it's can't kind of break out of that. I think it's so annoying. But it's almost like the support level around here, where it is, it's quite good, it seems to be. This is 8 quid level or, you know, it seems to bounce off that. But we'll see. But
I mean, if you look at the rating, you know, it's come, as I said, it's come right back, though. So, you know, this is the kind of chart you want to see as a bargain hunter. You know, 2021, the PE was 25. You know, looking forward into 23, it's almost down to, it's below 12. You know, This is a real fall from grace. Pays a nice big dividend as well. So the dividend level I'm looking for is sort of above 5%. So, you know, it's something roughly equivalent to, you know, your sort of risk-free, your gilt rate, your 10-year gilt rate. So you know, and I mean, one of the metrics people might look at is return on, you know, as a quality gauge is return on capital employed, which has been falling, but it's still, you know, you're still sort of around, hovering around 50%. This is a quality company.
Yeah, 50%.
Quality company, without a shadow of a doubt. Oh, and huge amounts of cash. Let's not forget the cash.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, do you know what? I was looking there because they're the market leader. Can they return to that sort of area? I know there's a bit more competition there, but hopefully, like I said, there's a lot of cash there to invest in themselves and deliver that. But again, you know, it's if the when the market starts to recover, you assume, you know, these kind of market leading stocks will recover first. You know, or rally quicker. You know, because they've had a big sell off. Yeah, but no, I do like HL. It's worth looking at, but. I'm looking
what are you going
at
for?
FDM Holdings. Again, this came up on the screen. I was looking for good quality businesses returning, you know, good amounts of return on capital, all that stuff, and paying a good dividend, but it's taken a bit of a hit. And FDM, I didn't know anything about them. And this is what they say about them. They're a global professional services provider with a focus on IT. Our mission is to bring people and technology. Basically, they hire people. Career program bridges for gaps for graduates, ex-forces, returners, and they train them up in certain areas.
Yeah.
And they say the FDM specializes in a range of technical and business disciplines, including development, testing, IT service management, project management, data engineering, cloud computing, risk regulation, and all that stuff. Everything from cybersecurity, AI, machine learning. So they're in the IT recruitment, and we all know that, you know, big IT companies have been laying off a lot of people of late. But that is not necessarily a bad thing, because that you may find that these big companies may lay off people within their own organisation, but outsource, you know, if they need to sort of to get work in that area and need the use of FDM Group, you know. And so, yeah, return on capital is all good. What are they, Mark? Let me just go back to the thing here. So they are, I said, a market cap of 620 million. They've got literally 45 million in cash. The return on capital, again, is similar to Argus Glanz. Return on capital employed is 50%. Return on equity is 41%. Now, generally, when you're looking at companies, anything in double digits is relatively good, I suppose. But they're still not, even though they come down a little bit, they're still not, you know, baseline cheap. I mean, they're still on a PE of around about 14. But yeah, no, I do like them. I mean, I've read about the company, about the ethos of the company, and all the directors hold stock and stuff. And the dividend at the moment, I don't know if they're going to change that, but it's showing 6.7%. So you know, and that's a decent dividend. But again, it may take a while, because it's just a sentiment, isn't it, around recruitment when we go into a slower economy. You know, and people are not going to start hiring. But this may be a benefit of that by
the
sourcing model. You know.
Yeah, no, 100%. Again, you know, well, I mean, it obviously depends how much you trust analyst forecasts. But we, you know, it has had a hiatus. You know, we have been through a few difficult years, first with the pandemic, you know, and then obviously the recent inflationary crisis and worries, as you say, over sort of the global economy. But you know, you again, it's similar chart to Hargreaves Lansdown on a sort of turnover and profit basis. You've got this little hiatus, you know, around now, but forecast to you know, continue that very strong upward trajectory. It's a great business. It's a really great business. And, you know, what it's doing as well, you know, it's a really good thing. You know, it's taking people who need a second career change.
Yeah.
And giving them one. And that's an admirable thing to build a business on the back of.
Yeah. Where are you at the moment, Johnny? Have you made any more purchases, any more investments?
No, I haven't. I'm keeping a watching brief on the ones that I have. I think the last thing I bought was a bit of facilities by ADF and what else did I buy? 10 Lifestyle.
Right.
The one I've been keeping an eye on recently, and it is in this list as well, is BT, because I already own some of that, and it had a shocking day the other day. It sort of reset all its KPIs, not in a good way. And yeah, I'm sitting on quite a chunky loss there, you know. BT hovering around those lows, but you know, unlike Hargreaves and FDM, pre-tax profits are not forecast to bounce back this year. That, you know, they're forecast to be down. PE of less than 7 reflects that. Yeah, it's so yeah, keeping a watching brief and wondering whether it's time to dump it.
Yeah, well, if you have it's like one of the things, isn't it? Or wait till it recovers and then I'll dump it. It's like that old trick about trying to catch chickens in a box, and one goes in, and then quick, put the box down. Then one goes in, and two go out. And you go, I had two chickens just then. I've let them go now. But yeah, that's the thing with stock shortages. But we are at a, you know, like I said, quite a historically tough time at the moment. It's almost like saying, surely it can't get any worse within 12 months, can it?
Well, I mean, who knows? But you know, for, I wouldn't like to predict anything at the moment. I mean, you know, look at some of the companies at the top of this list that are at 52-week lows. You know, Persimmon being one of, you know, Ibstock, which is a brickmaker. You know, our economy is, you know, very much built around the housing market and the consumer economy. And you know, I think the fact that the likes of Persimmon and Ibstock are trading at such lows, it really reflects that there is some serious worries about the UK economy.
Yeah, but I tell you what, I think the Bank of England has gone too far. I think they have to lower. I mean, in fact, that's what the bond market is saying. Inversion of the yield curve. They're saying they're going to have to reduce interest rates in the next 6 to 12 months. So if they do that, you know, house builders will do really well, I think, you know. So
That's true. Sometimes it does play to be a contrarian. And, you know, we are seeing inflation falling away elsewhere in Europe. I think in Spain today it's falling back below 2%. So,
wow.
You know, there we go. We could see a reversal here. But the trouble is, when you see a reversal of that magnitude, the other worry is that it's because something equally horrible is lurking, a massive global slowdown.
Yeah, well, that's part of what I'm thinking. What is going to happen? The market's going to rally on initially the reduction of interest rates because it's good for equities and stuff, but then the realization of why they're reducing interest rates they'll kick in a bit later and the market will roll over again, you know.
Yes, it's been a strange tug of war. It's been going on for too long.
Marvelous stuff. Cheers, Don. Excellent. See you next week. Bye bye.
Thanks, Justin. Speak soon.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hey, it's Austin James. If you're like me, trying to live your best life while living with diabetes, you can relate to worrying if you're doing a good job managing your diabetes. I use the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor to get real-time glucose readings and see the impact of every meal and activity to make better decisions. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor can help me live life with diabetes on my own terms, and it gives me more time for the things I love, like being a dad and a musician. Now this is progress. Learn more at FreeStyleLibre.us.
For prescription only, safety info found at FreeStyleLibre.us.